Welcome to the Convergence Podcast, brought to you by the Ira A. Fulton Schools of Engineering at ASU.
Welcome to Convergence, the podcast, a production of the Ira A. Fulton Schools of Engineering at Arizona State University. My name is Linnell Strotter, and I work as the content and PR manager for the Fulton Schools. That means I have the pleasure of finding and sharing news and developments by faculty members and students in the nation's largest and most comprehensive engineering program. Today, we're excited to learn about some of the amazing research happening in the School of Biological and Health Systems Engineering, one of six schools in the Ira A. Fulton Schools of Engineering at ASU. So let me start by introducing you to Marco Santello, a professor and director of the Biomedical Engineering School at ASU. Marco joined the university in 1999 and has held several leadership and faculty positions across the university. He directs the Neural Control of Movement Laboratory and for the past several years has been working on soft robotic haptic interfaces to improve sensory-motory functions in the hand. Marco joins us today from his native Italy. Welcome, Marco.
Thank you, Ronel. It's a great pleasure to introduce my school and tell you a little bit about it, but most importantly, to introduce you to some of my faculty along this podcast. And just let me start by telling you that the school is the core mission of the school is to create effective solutions to improve human health. And the way we do that is by leveraging a highly interdisciplinary expertise that we have among our faculty, but more also by interacting with the biomedical industry and clinical community. As some of you may know, Arizona State University does not have a medical school, but that has not prevented us in any way to grow our connection with the local clinical community, including the Mayo Clinic, the Barry Neurological Institute, Phoenix Children's Hospital, and others. And so we do this in a variety of ways. There's a lot of support from the institution, of course, to build those bridges. But we also have a very good relationship with those clinical partners as they seek our expertise in a number of areas. In fact, our school has several research thrusts, and those are bioimaging, biosensors and bioinstrumentation, molecular, cellular, and tissue engineering, neurorehabilitation engineering, and synthetic biology and systems bioengineering. And what's really interesting, you know, as a field in general, biomedical engineering, as we all know, is highly interdisciplinary, and each of our faculty, in fact, tend to work across more than one of these research thrusts. And in fact, both faculty I'm about to introduce to you work across different areas. Let me start by introducing you Dr. Barbara Smith, who is an assistant professor in the areas of bioimaging and molecular, cellular, and tissue engineering.
Thank you so much for the introduction, Marco. It's a pleasure to be on this. Maybe I'll start off and I'll tell a little bit about my own research. So my long-term research goal in the area that I'm going to be discussing today, which is on bioimaging and navigating to areas in the deep brain. And the work aims to develop and apply a new technology, which is called fluoroacoustic multipipette electrode, which I term FLAME. And it combines high-resolution recording of patch clamp electrophysiology with photoacoustic and fluorescence feedback to give an understanding of where that electrode is in the brain. And it utilizes optogenetic modulation for the ability to target neurocircuits that are known to be active in response to addiction. I'd say that experimental precision and throughput for highly utilized technologies. So electrophysiology, maybe we'll start off and I'll tell a little bit. So electrophysiology has been utilized since 1952. So Alan Hodgkin and Andrew Huxley were the first to unlock neural behavior with their groundbreaking micropipette electrodes. And then it was followed in 1976 by Erwin Neher and Bert Sackmann, who improved on these micropipettes. And they all got Nobel Prizes for their work. And it was extremely impactful, and today's micropipette electrode technologies remain largely unchanged from that. And what's utilized with these electrodes is typically external illumination in order to navigate to different cells of interest in the brain. And so the external illumination that's utilized, two photon microscopy or confocal, they have they're depth limited. And so they can very well target neurons that are about 1 millimeter to 2 millimeters from the cortical surface, but they have a very difficult time navigating to areas in the deep brain. And so what we've done in my lab, is we've integrated optical and acoustic technologies into electrodes in order to give a visualization, or actually target and track neurons that are at depths greater than 2 millimeters, and at depths actually as deep as the electrode can go. So this technology is being developed right now in my lab, and I've got a handful of PhD students that are moving forward with the research. And where we've gotten to so far is, I would say, that utilizing electrodes as waveguides for optical and acoustic information will provide us, or is providing us, with an ability to robotically automate electrode technology so that we can target cells.
Thank you, Barbara. That's a great overview of your work. One thing I should bring up about Barbara is that she was recently awarded an NSF Career Grant that really underscored the significance and the impact of this work. As you can imagine, being able to reach deeper structures in the brain can be a game changer. So what do you see the most significant or promising application of your technology?
Oh, that's great. So thank you so much for the question. So the first area that we're moving into is opioid addiction, and a national crisis that affects 1.7 million individuals and produces an economic burden of $78.5 billion annually. We're aiming then to move into traumatic brain injury and Alzheimer's and epilepsy and pain. And so I would say that the first step in this is really tool development and its initial application. So we've right now developed that tool, and the major goal is to get it into research labs across the nation and across the world so that other electrophysiologists can begin utilizing this tool and technology. I would say that the other area that we want to move forward with is outreach. And so I would say there's the main challenge as a professor in the lab, I would say, is that we have two products that come out of every lab. We have the students and we have the research. And it's a matter of making both of those as impactful as we can possibly make, and having those students, when they move off into the labs that they're going to be running, that they're actually making waves and making changes and moving research forward.
Okay, Barbara, thank you so much. It's been really interesting to hear about your research, and about, most importantly, the long-term impacts, then, you know, both at the research level and educational level, this can have a long-lasting legacy and impact. Thank you so much, Barbara.
Thank you so much.
And I would also like to introduce you the next faculty in my school, Dr. Rosalind Seidler, who also happens to work across two areas, which is bioimaging, but also neurorehabilitation engineering. Ross?
Yeah, thank you very much, Marco. Neurorehabilitation is one of the interests that I have. The broad goal of our lab is to understand and to exploit the electrical properties of the body. And Barb just touched on the importance of the electrical behavior of the body, but there's also a great deal to be understood from the electrical properties, core electrical properties of the body, because they provide a really sensitive and valuable indication of things like cell density, membrane properties, electrolyte concentrations, mobilities, and of course the presence or absence of disease. And so in our lab, we've been exploring electrical properties and behavior over a range of applications and scales and using a variety of modalities. Most recently, we've been using a technique called magnetic resonance electrical impedance tomography to try and both understand the passive electrical properties of the brain and the deep brain, which we hope will help people develop better methods for targeting using techniques such as deep brain stimulation, but also to look at the possibilities of finding functional imaging modalities from the technique that we've been using. And so the core technique that we're using is trying to see how the body changes its conductivity in response to a particular physiological condition. And so most recently, what we've been doing, as Marco mentioned, is we've been looking at measuring and imaging electrical conductivity in subjects who are undergoing transcranial direct current stimulation, TDCS. And the information that's gained from that can be used to both inform treatment planning phases of an intervention, and also to possibly help us look at the mechanisms that underlie these treatments, which are very poorly understood. And in the broader sense, what we're moving on to is to think about applications involving things like cancer, and also, of course, because of the recent pandemic, looking at applications of related techniques in helping treatment and monitoring in COVID patients.
Thank you, Ra. So really exciting research program. And what really intrigues me is the fact that you also combine a number of techniques from experimental to modeling to, you know, from hardware to software in a very, very interconnected way, which is really unique. I was wondering, so we all know that federal agencies, a number of them have partnered, you know, in a number of initiatives, including, say, the Brain Initiative, and novel techniques have been at the forefront of their priorities. So I wonder, given the nature of your work, and you know, your work clearly has been recognized by numerous federal awards, where do you see the next, the major obstacles or the next big thing, so to speak, in biomedical imaging? Where do you see that? What is preventing us from, say, going to the next level, whether it be, you know, imaging a larger number of neurons to, temporal resolution to spatial resolution? Where do you see the challenges?
Yeah, well, there are two things that I think will be really exciting, particularly in the area of brain. One is there are some fantastic improvements in modeling that are being done. So in actually simulating the behavior of multiple neurons, either in rehabilitation context or in CNS or in the actual brain context. And there's some really interesting stuff that's been going on there. And that, of course, can be helped by improvements in both modeling and imaging of real treatment currents. And the other things that are, I think will be interesting to see going forward is improvements in treatments. So moving away, for example, if you're looking at cancer treatment, moving away from gadolinium contrast as a mechanism for highlighting cancer tissue. I think there are so many really novel innovations coming out that don't use contrast, that are pivoting on very interesting combinations of different mechanisms working to highlight specific aspects of tissue properties. And those are some of the things that Barb is working on and some of the things that our colleagues in the school are working on as well.
Fantastic. So I have one last question, and that is, you mentioned transcranial magnetic stimulation, you mentioned transcranial direct electrical stimulation, and you know, there is now a growing number of neuromodulation techniques. We learn more and more about what works, but most importantly, how they work. So I was wondering, you know, going back to the previous question, where do you see the new frontiers of neuromodulation? Because clearly, we want, ideally, in humans, something that is non-invasive, something that ideally is with high spatial resolution, very targeted. Where do you see the future there? And would you also see a need to, in parallel, develop better modeling technique to really understand the mechanics of these techniques.
Yeah, well, targeted ultrasound is a really interesting technique that's coming up at the moment. And that has the advantage over some of the electromagnetic techniques is that it's better able to be focused, which is very interesting. And people are also working with temporal focusing of electrical currents, which is quite a fascinating field in itself.
Okay. Thank you so much, Ross. I really appreciate both your overview and, of course, Barbara's overview. It's been a really fun chat. And now I give the mic back to Lanelle.
Well, thank you so much to each of you. It was such a pleasure to learn so much more about the innovation that's happening in neural modeling and imaging. So we're almost out of time here. But before we go, Marco, is there anything that we haven't covered that you'd like our audience to know?
I would just like to pick on what Barbara said in her concluding remarks that ASU as a whole, and of course our school and the College of Engineering, are really driven by our ultimate metric of impact, and that it's our students, because those are at the end our, so to speak, in inverted quotes, our final product in terms of the knowledge that we impart to them and the hope that they're going to use it to improve their human health condition, which at the end is what drives our teaching, our research, our service. And so I just wanted to conclude by, you know, restating that that's the ultimate drive that make, you know, faculty like Barbara and Ross do the work they do, and the rest of the faculty, of course.
Well, thank you, Marco, for joining us. And thank you also to Barbara Smith and Rosalind Sadler, just two of our faculty members here in ASU's biomedical engineering program. Barb and Rosalyn, do you mind sharing your contact information for listeners who want to learn more or are interested in collaborating with you?
I'd be glad to. So my email would be the best way to contact me, and it's my full name, barbarasmith@asu.edu, and I look forward to hearing from you.
And email is the best for me as well. My email address is rosalind.sadlier, S-A-D-L-E-I-R, @asu.edu.
And if you're interested in learning more about Barb or Rosalind's research, you can visit us at sbhse.engineering.asu.edu. Again, I want to thank all of our guests today. And for our listeners, we hope that you'll join us for the next episode of Convergence, the podcast.
Thank you for listening to Convergence, a podcast brought to you by the Ira A. Fulton Schools of Engineering at ASU.